Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello, ballers, and welcome to the SC Ballers NRL Supercoach Podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Supercoaches worldwide were brought back down to earth with a thud in round three, with injuries and subpar performances hitting hard. But as always, we must look forward, and what better place to start than Team List Tuesday for round four of the NRL. There is plenty of cash to be made, and supercoaches are racing to the pump to try and make as much and as quickly as possible. I've got a huge show tonight, our new segment, The Baller Blueprint, chatting strategy through the around the weather impact on supercoach scoring, with a lot of rain forecast for round four, and also how we think about trading high and low break evens, especially this time of year when we've got some really big ones. We've got our regular position analysis and, of course, captain's chats and pods of the week. Joining me tonight, it's co-host of the Sunday Snap and proud Jaden Campbell owner, coach of Tubes' pods. Tubes, welcome back to the SC Ballers podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm happy to be here. I've been... I'm fired up. I feel a bit of aggression coming through because I couldn't get the AirPods to work for about 10 minutes there trying to connect. So I'll see if I can bring that energy into Teamless Tuesday chat.
Well, you are known for coming in hot. This can only have added to your frustration tonight.
Yeah, I'll be coming in hotter than spicy tamale on the weekend, that's for sure.
It wouldn't be hard. Yeah, poor old Hot Tamale, he didn't have his best week. But Canberra didn't have much ball. I'm back in big Hot Tamale to bounce back this week. Now, I'm very excited to introduce our next guest. He's without question one of the hottest super coaches in the country right now. Following up his 86th place in 2024, he's currently ranked 367th overall in 2025 after a massive start to the season. It's coach of C-Max Shark Attack. Oh, no, sorry, C-Max 86ers this season. And he's in for his seasonal and SC Ballers debut. It's Chris. Chris, welcome to the SC Ballers podcast.
Thanks very much, Matt. Lovely little intro there. I've been very lucky to start the season. It's nice that you guys got the top seed on for once. I'm pumped to keep the energy rolling. You guys are doing a good job with the Ballers, and I hope I can keep that high standard going.
Well, it's very hard to get you. Not only are you a very famous and well-to-do, well-credentialed super coach, but you're actually a real coach as well. And Tuesday afternoons is when you're training. So, I hope that coaching's going as well as your super coaching.
Yeah, not too bad. Not quite as good, but it's a bit tough with 11-year-olds at times. I wish I could trade a couple of them out, I tell you.
How good would that be? How'd you go on the weekend, Chris?
Look, 11:35, which ended up being pretty good, honestly, for most of the weekend. There was a lot of carnage out there, which I didn't avoid all. But, 11:35 in the end was pretty good. I was, looking like I wasn't going to get 1,000 there for a while. So Ruben Garrick and Payne Haas probably got me out of trouble. But, ended up being okay.
Yeah, Ruben saved the day for about 35% of coaches. Not you, unfortunately, Tubes. You ended up with a very decent score, though, thanks to Jaden Campbell, as aforementioned.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to captain Nico. I had 11:66, and it's a bit of a what could have been weekend because I was having that without Ruben, and that probably was a little bit costly for me, but unlike you two, I didn't go down in rankings. I went up about 28,000 rankings this week. So, I'm on the improve. That's amazing.
The top 1K is not all it's cracked up to be, Tubes. Don't worry about it. that's all good. We had it really was moving. You snuck into you were ranked 60,000 or 65,000, Tubes. But over the weekend, you snuck into the top 10K on the live ranks for a while. That just shows how tight it is at the moment this early in the season.
It is. It's very tight, and I'm pretty happy with my team setup. I just need there's a bit of rain around, but I just need some of those Titan boys to get through it this weekend, and I'm back. I'm flying. JC, Brimpod, etc.
Tubes now I've got to give the Sunday Snapper plug as per usual. I'm getting a bit worried because they're actually catching us in the ratings. And threatening to blow straight by. See, what have you been? What's been happening on the Sunday Snap?
I don't think catching you. It constantly exceeds
the previous
Tuesday pod each week. But then we're a nice lead in into this pod. So welcome back everyone that already listened to the Sunday Snap that's probably listening here. Plenty that's covered there, and the dulcet tones of the baritone baller in Jono. I think it's a must listen.
And we saw a bit of Jono's mug over socials this week as well, which was nice.
Yeah, I think everyone sounds like they were surprised by just how luscious his hair and beard.
Yeah,
looked, by the sounds of things.
All the staff at Baller Towers said for some reason they'd pictured Jono was bald. I don't know what that is.
It was nice to put a face to the puns for once. That was good.
There's been turkey rumours, but I'm not here to keep talking about that. It's just very luscious.
I had a score of 11.23 this weekend, which was enough to drop me a few hundred places down to in the mid 900s somewhere. So still top 1K as mentioned. I captained Ponga along with most other super coaches. Thankfully, I didn't loop Nico's score because I was going to have to, with how that all played out with my reserves, I was going to have to drop Garrick or Horsburgh, and I probably would have dropped Garrick. So that would have been a disaster, and I don't think I would have made it tonight if that was the case. But yeah, really happy with the start of the season in the 900s, threatening to attack. I traded Turbo out, so I got a big decision to make whether to bring him back in this week for Ponga or not, but we will get into that in our fullback analysis. So good time now to touch on our league, our major unlimited league, the SC Ballers League. The code for that, of course, is 730444. 730444. Still plenty of time to get involved there. We're going to leave that league open for a while. We've got tons of prizes, $5,000 worth of prizes to give away this season to our top ballers. And we're going to have giveaways and merch and everything as well. So please jump in the league. While you're at it, jump along to baller.promo. You can sign up to get on our mailing list there. And we've also got our website coming very, very soon, hopefully in the next few weeks. We're just doing some testing on some features, Tubes, and Jono waxed lyrical about it on the Sunday Snap. So pumped to get that going. Speaking of the Baller League, Tubes, Joel, coach a year of the Eagle, he had another big week. He's into the top 10 overall.
Could be the year of the Eagle.
not going on Cherry Evans antics last night, but yeah, Joel's doing very well. 8th overall, as mentioned, leading the Baller League. He's just ahead of Justin, coach of Ristev's Rhinos, who's 20th overall. So a couple of ballers that are up there nice and high. Our winner for round 3, our highest score for round 3 was Hunter, and his team is very aptly named the House of Pain, because it was a house of pain for the Cowboys on Friday night. He scored 1,409 points to take him to 281st overall. So well done to Hunter, the coach of House of Pain. And a big shout out to all our ballers in the Baller League, the SC Baller League. 1,552 names now, teams in there now. Please tell your friends, get more involved. I want this at a minimum of 3K before we close doors. And easy way to win a few dollars as well. Tubes.
Can I just give a shout out as well to we've got our private SC Baller leagues as well, and for some reason I forgot to join any of them before the season started. so we started a second one. I think we called it SC Ballers One, and it's only a 12-team competition, and it is league ranking number one right now.
Correct.
In the just
the. The hallowed prize of the top 12 team league. That's what we're going after this season.
It's the only one I'm in, so it's
you're not even in that league, are you?
Yeah, I'm in the top. I'm in the 12 one. Snuck in that one.
I can't find you. I've never can find your score because I can't find whatever league you're in. But anyway, that's all good. Check us out, guys, on our social media accounts. We've been pumping tons of content out. We did a great collab last week with Roasty, Uncle Roasty, who gave us a good collab on our Jamie Humphreys chat. I'm sure you saw that around the social media traps. We're on X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Please like and subscribe. Helps us out a lot. And hopefully you have a bit of fun in there along the way. Plenty of engaging content. We got producer Gramsy working non-stop on dishing out the content on their templates, like you name it, like there's some weird platforms, Canva, and oh, geez, there's plenty going on there, Tubes. I can't keep up with it. It's too much for my simple mind, but yeah. The content looks good.
And I've been getting plenty of texts and some people reaching out on socials about merch and TBA. TBA.
No, there's merch coming. There's yeah. baller merch coming. And look, it's going to be good. There's going to be giveaways, but you've got to be in the league, so make sure you join. 730-444.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
All right, let's get into our strategy chat to kick us off tonight, the baller blueprint. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen, but there is a downpour coming this weekend across the eastern seaboard. I feel like you got to say eastern seaboard when you talk about the weather. Just sounds better. You don't ever use eastern seaboard for any other reason, but when you're talking about weather, it is the eastern seaboard, and my God, there is going to be a deluge. Now, we put out some content earlier this season about the impact of rain over the past 4 years on Supercoach scoring, and Chris, there's a very big impact, particularly for outside backs and backs in general, with fullbacks down when it rains heavily, down 26%. Centre wings down 18% and halfbacks down 23%. 5/8 a little bit less at 13. Obviously, you get a few more ball runners in there. Hopefully, like not quite as impacted. But does that sort of surprise you, those kind of numbers, or was that kind of in line with what you sort of think when it rains?
No, I think it's pretty close to the mark from what I was thinking. Like, you know, if I look at the fullbacks this weekend, particularly someone like Reece Walsh, he usually would be a big VC option for me this week. With that weather around, I don't think I can go there. It'll probably force me to look at somewhere in the middle, maybe a Payne Haas. I think front rowers generally do a bit better when there's some inclement weather around. So, yeah, it's definitely worth looking at. I think it's super important, particularly with your non-playing reserves, who you're picking, because, you know, there's always a centre wing or two who could find their way on there. But, yeah, check your weather reports before, because you don't want to, you know, a Shibasaki, for instance, and you might be able to play a Nicholson this week. I'd definitely be going with a forward. If all works out,
it's interesting because you're right. Because front rowers actually improved 13% in their output. Obviously, there's probably a lot more ball in the middle. Teams don't play quite as expansively, so they're making more tackles. Is where that's going up. 2RF plus 4% and hooker plus 5%. So Tubes, with that information, is that impacting your captaincy plans and your trade plans? Even more importantly this week, because there are some big negative break evens for teams who are looking like they're going to have a big wet.
I think it 100% impacts my captaincy calls. So who you put in the VC on and who you put in the C on. As Chris said, I was pretty close to a Reece Walsh. I think the Titans play Friday night. So if there's no rain in Sydney on Friday night, I'm looking at Jaden Campbell. Yeah, so otherwise, I guess Payne Haas makes a lot of sense. I don't think I'll let it make any changes to my trade-in plans. I think there's some clear ones to look at bringing in. I don't think it can stop you bringing in, say, a Pappenhausen for this week just because you're worried about the rain against the Dragons. But certainly I think the main ones you're looking at is the sit fee starts and the captaincy calls. So it makes you think a bit more long-term than just getting a big score this week.
We'll post this data up on socials a bit more too, because it's really interesting in terms of light, moderate, and heavy rain, and we're going to get a spectrum of that this weekend. For me, it's I agree with YouTube's. I think for this time of year, you're making trades sort of for the longer term to build your squad value. I think where it does come into play a little bit more is if you are bringing in a centre winger for a hot run with a good draw, and that might impact me not bringing that player in. Tui Pilotu might be an interesting one there. He's got a huge negative break even, minus 54. They got a wet game. They're going to have a wet game against the Melbourne Storm. Like, doesn't get much tougher than that. Similar for Gutho. But I think in general there, you're not just bringing them in for that game. You got another two games then against the Eels and the Titans. So I think you're right on your trade targets still being very relevant, but very interesting and just useful information to keep an eye on throughout the season. Speaking of break-evens tubes, your chat the other night around AJ Brimson, you were talking about holding him. Now, he's got a break-even of over 100. I wanted to touch on how we think about break-evens at this time of year. Obviously, there are a lot of super coaches out there who will just jump at a big negative break-even to try and make that money. When you have a player maybe with a big break-even that you might want to trade out to avoid losing cash, or a break-even that's someone on the board with a negative break-even that they become a no-brainer, or to bring in, like, you know, or maybe not a no-brainer, like Matty Nicholson this week is kind of splitting opinion. He's got a negative break-even of minus 42. How does break-evens come into your trade plans?
I mean, it's an obvious factor. I feel like sometimes you can outthink the room a little bit on it. For me, I think it's a big factor when looking at trading someone in. So it's hard to feel like trading someone in when they've got a break-even of over 100, which can be, in a way, nice. So you mentioned, I talked about AJ Brimson. He's only 5.1% owned currently with that break-even of over 100. My thoughts on him is he's had a couple of lower-end games, particularly on the weekend, but I brought him in at the start of the year thinking he'll have that upside at 5'8". He's averaged well at 5'8" in the past, and just from an eye test point of view, he's exploding off the mark. He looks still pretty good. He just hasn't clicked and possibly gotten that ball. So I think of it then in that way of going, well, that's great. No one's going to bring him in, so I'm definitely holding him because he's a nice pot option that I think can actually score. Someone a little bit different to that, and he's injured this week, so it doesn't necessarily work out, but that was a Campbell Graham that I had last week. Mm-hmm. He had a higher break-even. He was sitting at 500K, but he just wasn't passing the eye test for me, and I didn't see that, you know, big upside coming in. Some players you get in to have sort of a good base and getting those 50 to 60, and if they score a try, they get 80. Whereas I think someone like a Brimson, if they score a try, they could score a hat trick, and so you're looking for those little subtle differences. I think a good comparison, I had someone ask me this week, which was, well, they're looking at bringing in Munster. Do they trade a Metcalf or a Brimson? And logic probably says Metcalf based on break evens this week, but I lean Brimson because I see him being a much more chance of being in my 18 longer term than a Metcalf is.
So do you mean trading Metcalf out?
Trading Metcalf, yeah, for Munster instead of trading Brimson for Munster. I don't know. I'm interested in your thoughts, Chris, because you traded in Reece Walsh last week on a big break even.
Yeah, that was probably where I was going to go if I was talked to on this. Reece Walsh, like, I thought, yeah, coming off a 9, break even was huge, but there's so many other things than just a break even that go into a trade. You look at their draw. The Broncos' draw for the next 5 weeks is phenomenal. So, yeah, he might lose cash for the first 2 weeks, but if he can get anywhere near where he should be playing at, he's going to go on a serious tear, make some money, but more importantly, get a heap of points. And effectively, that's what we want, right? We want the highest output. So while making cash is really, really important to get to those premium players, you know, you've got to be careful that you don't get too many guys in there making cash and then not premium players. So I think it's really important to look at the premium players. And even if they've got a high break even, don't be scared of that. Hold them for 6, 10 weeks, whatever, and they'll catch back up.
Yeah, I think that works as well for those guys who are not generally premium. So you look at a guy like Jason Saab or even a guy like Tui Pilotu this week, who's probably a bit better credentialed just given the shape of Dragons attack and his base plus power work. But Jason Saab had a break even of negative 50 last week with no turbo playing. He dropped to 23. Now he's going to have a relatively like upper, he's not going to make a ton of money now, and he's stuck in your team. He's a pod, right? I get it. They got a good game against Parramatta this week and he could come out and score a ton. But I really think you got to look at what the downside is with some of these guys you're bringing in as well, because they can, like you said, Chris, it's fine. They might make a little bit of money or a lot of money in some cases, but there are, you know, 50% of the time maybe they're going to drop a 20 or a 30, and then their cash generation is limited, and you look at their trade waiting to happen. So I think you're right. I think it's not necessarily a case of just trading because of a break even. You have to think about strategically what that means for your team, what the upside is and what the downside. Clint Gutherson's an interesting one this week who we'll touch on in our analysis, but you know, he should make a pretty quick 150K no matter what. And if he goes big, then he could make a ton of extra cash to then move on to another fullback. I'm not opposed to trading in guys who are sort of more expensive with a negative break even, but I think it just really has to be team dependent and if it suits your team.
Langmuir, veers to the right, inside.
Oh,
Bateman, Bateman,
wow.
Yes, yes.
All right, let's push on now to our positional analysis. I think that was some good chat around break evens and obviously with the wet scoring as well, and that's going to be a theme throughout the night. Tonight we're going to change it up a little bit and start at fullback tonight, given the importance of the fullback position not only this year but particularly this week. We got Kalyn Ponga on a bye, we got Turbo Willie, won't he turn up for Manly on Sunday? He missed the Raiders game last week. Plenty of super coaches traded him out, plenty held on. Seabold says he's certain to play. We know what Seabold's words worth, and certain would not be the word I would describe his probability to play. But yeah, let's start with Reece Walsh, Chris, who you mentioned previously. You're a new owner. I'm an owner as well. I started with him. It's been a very frustrating start to the season. He looked okay in the scoring 95 against their big win against the Roosters. Obviously, he's 9. And now he's dropped 50-odd on the weekend. He got a late try assist to Jesse Arthurs to bump that up a bit. They've got a very wet game Friday night against the Finns, which is pretty scary. It has super coaches selling him in droves. He's now currently he's sold by 1.5% of teams this weekend already. How are you going to hold Walsh through this weekend for this good? He's got the good run. He's got the Dolphins, Tigers, and Roosters next three, all at Suncorp.
Yeah, look, I'm not completely thrilled about the weather up there, but I am going to be holding Walsh. You know, my plan was when I did bring him in last week, it was going to probably leak cash, but I referenced that run again. Like you get through the Dolphins, Tigers, Roosters, the Warriors all coming up. I think he's worth holding. And he's not playing great at the moment, but he's trying hard. It's just going to click and he's going to get 130 one of these weeks. And then, you know, it's going to be smooth sailing until Origin. Then you see where you go with him then. But I'm a big Reece Walsh hold guy this week. I can understand jumping off. I can get, especially with a Cliff Gutherson who you mentioned, like there's some bulk cash to make there. But I just think Reece Walsh, he's going to explode at some point, and the week you sell him is probably the week it'll happen.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one. I'd be definitely holding as well, except for this weather. Like it's got me a little bit rattled. Tubes, you're an owner as well. You're not really one to sell on a whim though. I'd be surprised if you're telling me sell.
Yeah, I'm a big hold guy too. I think you're just crazy with the run coming up.
What do you think about how he's looking though? Like from his general NRL play, and there's been that bit of content on social media where the team's singing their song, drinking their beers, and he's sulking in the corner. There's a little bit to worry about, I think.
I don't think so. I'd be worried if he wasn't sulking in the corner after the last two game efforts that he's put in. Like he's had his worst two games just about of his career. It's good that he's feeling it. It means a lot to him. He's putting in the effort this week, and I think he's going to come out. It's just not quite clicking. Even in the first game where they smashed them, he ended up scoring well. It just wasn't quite there. I think he's getting a bit lost with the second dominant half in Ben Hunt, and he's not sure where he needs to be. Sometimes he gets a little bit stuck behind the play the ball as opposed to that sweeping. He's often sweeping on the left with Reynolds, and he's not sure, it seems, always what to do on the right. But I think it'll come, it'll click. Like smarter football heads than me will be looking at that and seeing what they need to do. I'm just going to back him in to turn it around. Whether or not it's this weekend against the Dolphins, he could play not that well and still end up scoring 100 against the Dolphins, if we're honest. But that run, I mean, you mentioned Tigers, Roosters, but then it's also the Warriors. Like there's a few there. There's enough for him to get some points. I think he's a definite hold. I wouldn't be trading him.
Let's move on to Ryan Papenhuyzen now. He's the most purchased player this week. He's got a negative four break even, 616K. He's kicking goals. Nick Meaney, 4 to 6 weeks with a broken jaw. He is carrying a small ankle niggle, but I think that's just some scar tissue, which can be quite painful by all reports. I'm currently planning on bringing him in. He's about 20% owned now. Tubes, are you getting the paps this week, the Hulk Hogan platinum blonde locks?
I've wanted him since he came out with those platinum blondes. Mm. The goal kicking just solidifies it. I think 600,
yep.
What was it, 16K. Like, yep. I can't see how you miss too badly, barring injury. The ankle thing concerns me a little bit, that possibly just pauses on, is he a captain option this week? But I think he's a bring-in option this week, definitely. It's just whether or not you're putting the C on him on Saturday afternoon in the wet.
Yeah, and with the wet makes it probably a bit hard. Away game as well. The Storm got a few out. Obviously, Hughes is out. That doesn't help him. Chris, you're an owner already. You started with him. That's you can owe your high rank a fair bit to that round one performance from Paps. How have you assessed his general play? To me, it looks he's a lot more involved in the structure. They've sort of moved away from that bit more reliance on Jerome Hughes, and Paps is sort of sweeping both sides and being that link man at second receiver.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I watching them last week, he was popping up all over the place, which obviously for Supercoach is great. If he can get in as involved as possible. And now with the goal kicking, it's phenomenal. It's so good. So, yeah, he looks an absolute no-brainer this week if you can make it work. I was obviously super, super happy with him round one because he was pretty under-owned. So that was, that's probably why I'm where I'm at, to be fair.
Yep. As a non-owner, I felt last week, I felt like we got away with one with him just getting 65 there. It felt like on another night that could have been 165. The I don't know what happened there. The Storm looked like they were going to win by 50 after 25 minutes, and then they just got the slows on, and Penrith, to their credit, really fought hard. It was a great game. Me and Tubes went out there. A lot of fun. Tommy Turbo, Tubes, next place to go. Now, you haven't owned Turbo all season. You were very staunch last week, let's say, on holding Turbo in the face of my hard sell argument. Now, no one's really won that battle yet. I am glad I sold, mind you, given that Arthur's, Starling and Payne Haas all went very well. Probably saved my weekend, to be honest. I've got a decision to make this week. Do I bring him back in? How worried about you? Number one, are you considering buying him? First of all, and how worried would you be about that hamstring if he was to play, and could he be a captain option with that hammy?
I'm very scared of Turbo this week. What's the rain situation on Sunday? I don't know if we go that far in the weather.
Yeah. Look, I was chatting to Gramsy pre-pod, and he's up very up to date with the latest weather models, and he was saying that by Sunday afternoon it should clear. That Brookvale surface as well, like Jesus, have you seen it? It's like a bowling green. So if it dries out, and Turbo gets that fast track next to Rubes there, Tubes, I think you're just gonna have to take the wife and kids out for a few hours there.
Yeah, I won't be watching the game on Sunday. I think if you traded him out last week, you've made your bed. You've now got to lie in it. And I don't think you're bringing him back. I think lots of people will, which I just think is absolutely crazy to trade him out 1 week when you knew the Parramatta thing was coming, and then to just trade him back to Ponga.
That's last week, Tubes. People don't care about last week's decision. They want a decision for this week.
I get it, and I just think it's a little bit silly, because the reasons you talk yourself out of it is after Parramatta, that it's a harder run for Manly coming in. He's still got the hamstring issue. It still could go within the first 5 minutes. I just don't think it's worth the trade back in. If I owned him, I would 100% be captaining him on Sunday. Yeah. It's a scary one for me not to own him, and I somehow just hope that I get through it. I've considered bringing him in, And if it wasn't for Pappenhausen as a much better option, I think longer term and cash gen wise, I'd be much more tempted.
Where are you on Turbo, Chris? I'm currently, I could trade him in with a trade to put, with my current trade plans. I could go Ponga to Turbo on Sunday. It just feels like that I'm giving a lot up. You know, it's minimum two trades, some cash, and like Tube said, they've got a bit of a dodgy draw after this. It's just the Turbo fear is real. You could really hear it in Tube's voice.
That watch on Sunday arvo as a non-owner will be putrid. Like, for it'll be so hard. Look, I feel like Tubes was just having a go at you and I then, knowing full well that we both traded him out.
Definitely me.
But look, I sort of had a look at their draw, the tougher draw that's coming up. I think there's three of the games are at 4 points park. And I don't think it matters who Manly play at 4 points. I think that's a good matchup for Turbo. If he's playing at 4 points park, it's a good thing. They're playing the Sharks away, but it's at Perth, which is a 3 o'clock game, which will be a fast track over there.
Yep.
So again, I don't think that's a bad matchup. And then they come back after the Sharks game to the Dragons at 4 points. So the draw's not that bad for him. I know
not
Melbourne
as bad as
4 points.
Advised.
Yeah. I don't think it's that tough. So look, like you said, I'm so on the fence. It's going to cost a lot to get him back in, trades-wise, everything else. But I don't know if I can watch Sunday afternoon without having him.
I will say that from a strategic perspective this season, and I do say that a lot, the cash generation is so high across the board. There are so many good cheapies coming in. And on top of that, our front row and second row are basically 80% done, like considering that almost everyone now owns Haas, May, Horsburgh and Tino. So, you know, and some people own Watson and Olakau'atu. And so there's like, we're really full. Like there isn't a ton of trades to be made up at 2RF and front row forward. Cool. Given that cash generation and settled nature of the forward pack, I think there's a really good argument that you really want three gun fullbacks every week this season from here on out. You want to have any of these guys who can go 180. So I'm talking about Teddy, Turbo, Ponga, Drinky, Paps, Keeney, Walsh, Gutho. I think that you want three of them in any given week to get your as many tickets in the raffle for fullback lotto. Because these guys are going to go off. And there is a very strong argument that trading at fullback, over trading at fullback, is the best strategic option. And, you know, Chris, for you and I, top 1,000, it's a leader's game, Supercoach, and I want to get up there as quick as I can. And I think the best way to do that is by having three gun fullbacks every week. And this is the best matchup of the year for any player in the competition, Tom Trbojevic.
Yeah, that's a really good shout.
I mean, I'm just going to, a couple of things. Like, I think. I think each week, depending on what you want to make as a trade that week, you come up with a three-minute dialogue where diatribe, I'd almost call it.
Diatribe, yeah, that's what I call
where,
it.
Where you talk about strategic things, which that's is right. Really just about confirming your bias of what you want to do to use as many trades as possible that week and just flip around. Others call it fullback roulette. Let's call it for what it is, Matt. I think your point on the run, Chris, like, is quite selective. I mean, let's be honest. After this week, they play the Storm. They play the Sharks. Yes, they play the Dragons. Then they play the Panthers. Then they have a bye. Then they play the Sharks again. So regardless of where it is, four of those next five games, you don't want to be playing those teams, and they have a bye stuck in there. So, look, I don't know where that sits on the strategically thinking game theory side of things, but for me, I think you made your bet. Don't trade Ponga this week. It just seems like a silly opportunity. I mean, you guys do what you want. I'm just more. I'm trying to promote it for the listeners out there, not to listen to you guys, so they can come storming past you in the top 1K.
Maybe we need like a little non-turbo owners. Like, we've talked about identifying as non-turbo owners on the Sunday Snap Tubes. We're going to need some sort of, like, behind-the-sofa party come Sunday afternoon. If none of us are owning, it's going to be a very scary watch. All right, let's move on from Turbo. Ponga, I think Ponga's basically just tight. Like, it's just so important. Like, I don't want to sell Ponga, but I am still advocating for this three fullback lotto job, and I think you need tickets in the raffle. Chris, how would you advise people on trading out Kalyn Ponga this week?
Oh, look,
they're on the bye. Obviously, I should mention
they're on the bye. But watching him last week without a couple of key members of their forward pack, actually, yeah, it sort of got me worried. Dylan Lucas is going to be out for 6 weeks. I think KPP might be back next week, but they just he really lacked that punch without the go forward that they'd been providing for the first 2 weeks. So, you know, without that, I can see why people would be moving him on to go to a Turbo or to a Pappenhausen. But geez, again, he's one of these guys that it'd be so tough to watch a game as a non-owner. So. Yeah,
Tubes, I presume you'd be in the whole camp.
I mean, 40% of people captained him on the weekend, and now they're looking. Some of them are looking to sell. Like it was probably his worst game in a few years. I think you just hold him, and he's still going to be pumped. That captaincy option. Yeah,
that's all it came down to. They just got pumped. That happens. Like that's going to happen.
And Titans, they're sneaky good. They just needed the run the first week. Bit of a blowout against the Dogs. Watch them this weekend.
KPP's out for another week, Chris, by the way. He's suspended for one more game. Lucas obviously gone for 6 weeks. And Leo Thompson's gone with I think he's got a medial knee injury. So things are going to, you know, they got Bulldogs next game. So it should be a tough duel. So potentially trading Ponga out for this week and that game might work out okay. His break even's manageable this week, but then if he scores low again, then he's going to have a huge break even the week after. So that'll test Supercoach's resolve. That's home to West Tigers. Clint Gutherson is the name on a lot of people's lips this week. He's minus 48 break even, home to the Melbourne Storm before they have the Eels and the Titans. So a good little run post the Storm game. I've been really impressed with Gutho to start the year. I looked into some of his stats this year in terms of how much he's touching the ball, and his touches are actually down slightly from last year, which surprised me. With their attacking structure of Flanagan and Lachie Ilias, neither are particularly ball-dominant halves down in the red zone. They've looking to run a lot of play on the sweeps both sides through Gutho, and that's something that's super appealing from a super coach perspective, as he's always going to get the try assist if they score. Chris, how are you approaching Gutho? Is he on your radar this week, number one? And do you think that's just going to continue for him in terms of that role?
Yeah, look, he looks very on ball, very dominant, which is great for Gutho. No, I'm not looking at him just because of, you know, the couple of things we spoke about before. I'm holding Walsh, I've got Papp, and then my decision on fullback will be, do I bring back Turbo? Gutho is going to make bulk cash, and he's playing really, really good football. He's passing the eye test. He looks great. I certainly couldn't steer anyone away from it. Really hard at fullback.
The question I'd have, Tubes, is it's not like Gutho's this like shiny new toy. He's 30 years old. We know what Gutho is. Is it enough that we think his role is slightly improved, or do you think that he's just had a couple of good games in where they've scored a lot of points to start the season?
I think his role's definitely improved. They've only scored 20 points and 24 points. And so I think, as you said, there's a merit in that his attacking upside has changed just based on that sort of structure. I mean, I just think the Dragons aren't very good. They've lost both those two games when they probably should have won both those games.
Well, they definitely should have won against Souths.
And I just think that you can say they've got an easy run with Eels into Titans, into Manly, into Roosters, like after this week, but they're just not a very good side. So do they actually have a good run? Like only good teams have good runs. Like bad teams do not have good runs in this.
Yep.
I just think that he's a risk of regressing, but I think it's a risk that at some point the Dragons continue to not be good and they start getting pumped again by teams. I think if you were bringing him in this week, you'd be doing it as a 2 to 3 week play just to get the cash and hope that he jags another decent score and And again, that's just not for me. I think I'm happy to stick with those premium fullbacks this year.
I think the range of outcomes there is quite big. I think what you said, that's right. The most likely is he gets a couple of decent scores and then you look to move him on to one of the really premium fullbacks, you know, your Teddies or your Drinkies or the like, you know, or Turbo Ponga, whoever you don't have. I do think, though, there's a chance that he keeps going big and he actually makes his, like, this. It's not out of the realms that he makes him, gets to $1 million and he's the one that just got away, except for the people who brought it in. So I don't mind it as a punt. I think it just has to suit your team and your structure. And yeah, I don't mind the buy personally, but at this stage, I'm not bringing him in. Isaiah Yongi, Tubes, just quickly on Yongi, he's getting close to a sell. Two questions here for you are, can you sell him this week? He's got a break even of 11, 296K, or is he playable?
I think you have to play him. If you're keeping him for this week, that's sort of
way to Manly.
But just the whole point of having that sort of second fullback is you feel like you're playing him where a lot of people are missing Ponga, a lot of people are missing Marju. There's Watson, Cleary. I'd be shocked if people that own Yongi aren't playing him in their 17 this week.
Yep.
For me, it's really just been the thing I predicted of worrying that could happen by owning Yongi and then went against it and bought him myself. Like, he hasn't gone bad. He's still going to make money. But I don't want him in my team anymore. I want one of those gun fullbacks. And for me, if you can get the cash, like I am, going up to a Pappenhausen, this is sort of the week to look at doing it, in my perspective.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Just a couple of other fullbacks just to keep an eye on. Pod options, Drinkwater and Tedesco. I kind of mentioned them before. Drinky's going to drop a lot of price. He's 111 break even this week. He's got a buy upcoming in the next few weeks. Once we get post that, I really, really like Drinky. Once the Cowboys hopefully can find a bit of form, he's looking very, very likely. He hasn't had a good score yet. I'm very keen there. And James Tedesco is the other one. He is a huge pot option. The Chooks have a decent run coming up. They have a buy in round 10. He's highly unlikely to play Origin unless something strange happens. I think he's got a B of 94, and it's going to be high again next week because he only dropped to 56, I think, on the weekend or something like that. He's 865K now. I think Teddy's looked really good, and I know the Roosters aren't as good as they were last year, but he's involved in everything, so I think he's in for it. We've already seen he had a monster game against the Panthers a couple of weeks ago, so he's right on my radar. Let's move up to the centre wing now, or down, depending on... No, we're going up this week, aren't we? So up to the centre wing. Chris, the man on everyone's lips somehow is Christian Tuipulotu. A few shrewd super coaches out there started with him. He's got a minus 54 BE, 552K, 6.3% owned currently. He's set for some big price rises. Draw is mixed, but seems to have a big upside, and Dragons are looking fairly left heavy from an attack perspective.
Yeah, look, he's looked good. He's absolutely killing it so far. I'm not sure, especially now that Flano said no more try celebrations. I'm not sure if I want to enjoy the ride with him. That's pretty disappointing. I think it's been great. Gets the crowd going. Certainly gets you out of your seat when you're watching
Aussies are so we just like they just don't like that, do we? It's like
it's a bit of fun. Like
in the NFL, they do it all the time. In the NFL, if you're down 40-0 and you get a touchdown, you're celebrating. You're flicking the cash around like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, very, very frowned upon here, which is upsetting because, that was great fun. And I know it probably provoked the opposition both weeks that he did it, and Flano's pulled him up on it. So, yeah, a bit disappointing. But look, yeah, definitely can get around it. Like, he's going to make absolute bulk cash. They are going left. You know, their draws so-so. Dom touched on it. Bad teams don't have good draws. But, look, if you had a plan to hold him for 3 or 4 weeks, I could get around that because he's gonna make cash for a month, and if he can get up to that 750-800K, then you can pick the best of the centre wingers out there for him.
Yep. I actually don't have a slot for him this week, but I wouldn't mind buying him at all. Like, but it's a huge negative BE. I think he's got good base, good power. And he's going to be on the end of a few meat pies. So I don't mind the play at all. Jordan Samarani, not named for the Eels. He drops out of contention. Stafford Toa is named at centre. He's 288k tubes, minus 17 BE. He dropped 30 odd on the weekend with some try involvements, but I would if he was going to be named for Skelton, I could have got around that a bit more. But it's an okay pick, but I'm just not quite there on a Stafford Toa fan level at the moment.
I think it's not a bad pickup if you're needing a cheapie in the center wing this week to help make your other trades. So I'd be happy to be looking to pick him up if you say you needed to downgrade a Roger to get 300k to trade up to somebody else, and I think he's a fine cheapy downgrade of first what's available. Like, I think he'll get to 400k. Yep. He might score some tries. Like, I think there's nothing wrong with it. Yep. if it fits your trade plans for this week.
Now, I got a little bit lost on that Stafford Toa intro tubes, and that's because I was getting word through from producer Gramsy that he's just seen in breaking news that Ryan Pappenhausen, via the NRL physio, Ryan Pappenhausen ran with the rehab group at training today. Now, that's another spanner in the works for super coaches out there. What was I saying about Clint Gutherson? He's a great buy this week. Something like that.
All of a sudden. Wow. That's a bit scary. I didn't want to hear that.
No, one to keep an eye on, absolutely there.
So the quote was from Frank Panisi, is it?
Frank Panisi, yeah. Pretty good chief.
He says that something to the effect of, some are looking good, some are looking doubtful for round four. Doesn't talk specifically, but it could include the likes of Pappenhausen and Eli Katoa as part of that chat or conversation. So, yeah, bit of spanners.
Yeah, I can feel Chris is just tightening up in
big time. Just reverse trade, just reverse trade.
The chair's under a lot of stress at Chris's house there right now. Oh God, can you imagine? As if this week wasn't hard enough for trades. Bloody hell. Anyway, let's get back to the center wing. We've got to talk about a couple of cheapies from last week. I don't think any of these guys are really buys now. Jesse Arthurs, I think he's 459k minus 14. I'm going to say pretty hard the ship has sailed on Arthurs. Don't bother getting him now, especially with that weather. Young GI tubes, same situation for him. God, he looked good. I think he looked like a peak GI. We're going to upgrade him.
Ooh.
Don't know about that. It's a bit over the top. Mine was a bit realistic. You're going a bit far there. Yeah, I think Shiba looked good. Obviously won the spot over Dean Mariner, who I think Dean was given a big push to last week, not being the Shibasaki owner. Break even of 5 this week. I can't see that you're bringing him in now. He's just gone up 84K, which was beautiful. And I think we sort of ride this out for as long as he keeps this form up. Still a very good run.
Yep. Ruben Garrick, Chris, I won't bug Dom with Ruben Garrick as a non-owner, but he's 748K now, break even at 23. That's gonna go below again next week with that 157 in his rolling average. You can't possibly buy him with that draw, can you? I know it's a good fixture this week, but I think you've just got to take your licks there.
Yeah, just take your licks there, exactly. Just worker. And, you know, he might have some sleepless nights because you're a brand new baby. So you exactly. never know. Yeah.
You never know. Geez, his hair looked good. Real tight, high and tight. Yeah.
Very Chad-like.
Few pod options to talk about at centre wing. We got to move on here. We've spent so long on these backs. Very important positions this week. But Kale Iro, Marky Mark, Jesse Ramian is interesting. He's out base powering Iro at the moment, and he's traditionally got more attack than Iro, so I think he can do something. He's a little bit cheaper than Iro in the low 600s. Fletcher Sharp tubes. I know you're impressed. I know Dan's really impressed. He had 54 in base plus power on the weekend. He's shaping as a top 5 centre wing, I think, for sure. Bizza. What's that? He's not yours?
He's on the buy.
No. I'm just thinking about pod options moving forward. But thanks, sorry. Tubes. I forgot about that. Not really. Brian To'o, pod option. I find it hard to spend that much, but he looked good. Back to a bit of form on the weekend. Paul Alamotti, he's got that wing spot. He's goal kicking for a week. And then obviously if Cleary's out again, he's just a bit expensive, 640. But pod, Ronaldo, Phil Sammy Tubes, one of your boys from way back. He's named in the centres every week, but he's playing wing. Can't get a meat pie to save his life, but I think he's good. And your pot of the week last week, Tubes, Connor Tracy, who Jono was actually keen to bring in, but I think he's more of a probably around 6-7 type buy. Would you agree?
Possibly. I think you need to wait and see. I wouldn't buy any dogs of the people you just mentioned.
Really?
That's
why they're pot options, Tubes.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying I wouldn't buy any of them at the moment.
No, agree.
I think the keeping the cheapies in that center wing is a pretty good one. I think the only one out of all of them I'd consider really is Iro. We talked about him on the Sunday Snap. I think he's got a very good chance of being a top three, certainly top four centre wing to end the year. And it's just about when you look at getting him in. Could be like a Dane Gagai from previous years. Like, no one ends up buying him, but he just keeps plugging away, doing well. Like Herbie from last year. Yep. I'd like to own him. I feel like not much variance in him.
Poor old Herbie, he's still busting out pretty massive numbers from a base plus power perspective. And he got a try as well. It just feels like his ceiling's a bit capped at the moment with the Finns not going real well. But he'll be an option at some point, I've got no doubt. Let's move up to 5'8 now. And 5'8's a really interesting position at the moment with Luke Metcalf on the chopping block for some super coaches this week. He's sold by 1% of teams. He's still 45% owned. He's got a break-even of only just two this week. With the Warriors on the bye, most people are looking to ship him on. Jerome Luai, similar boat, except he's a hard sell, I think, Chris, now. He's had two really bad scores, under 20 in a row or around 20. 14% owned, break-even of 121. He's just a hard sell, isn't he?
Yeah, 100% agree with you there. Just move him on.
Yep. Tubes, I'm looking at here that you want to end up with probably two 5'8s out of the following three players. Dylan Brown maybe, but I think that it's a pretty quick race now to get two of Munster, Jaden Campbell and Galvin. How would you assess that?
Yeah, I think that's right. And if I ranked them, I'd probably go Munster 1, Campbell 2, Galvin 3. I think Munster without Hughes over the next few weeks is going to be only a good thing for his score going up. If Pappy's out this weekend, Munster could kick goals. Jaden Campbell, I think we saw a glimpse of what he has potential being the, should be the dominant half in the halves pairing as well as kicking goals. I think a lot of people will be looking at Metcalf next week once that break even goes back up and looking at bringing in one of those two.
Yeah, I'm definitely eyeing that off. If I can afford it, my preference, I'm a Munster owner already. My preference would be Munster as number one there first as well. He'd be who I'd be going straight to. I think, Chris, I'd be Jaden Campbell over Galvin, but if I can't afford that, then I think I'll be pretty happy to have Galvin. He looks like the main man there at the Tigers from an attacking perspective.
Yeah, certainly wouldn't be worried about picking Lockie Galvin up. He's all over the place. He's playing, swinging both sides of the field. He's very ball dominant there. And Jerome Luai's just sitting back and letting him go. I agree. I think Jaden Campbell's also got the goal kicking and I think...
High ceiling.
Much higher ceiling. So, but Lockie Galvin's, if you can't get to Campbell, Lockie Galvin's not a bad pickup at all.
Galvin leads all 5'8s for base plus power through three rounds at an average of 42, which is really good. I just feel like you're going to get that sort of 45 to 80 or 90 most weeks with Galvin. You might get a ton here or there, whereas we probably saw Campbell's floor tubes against the Dogs. What did he score? 40 or 45?
46 in the end.
I feel like that's pretty close to his floor, but he's got a 150 in his locker. We've seen it before last season. So I'm going to try to get up to Jaden. Some of these other options, Adam Dewey, Dylan Brown, Tubes. Dewey particularly looks a bit worrying. He got 43 with five goals on the weekend. That involvement rate's just not there. He's only got a break even at 24 this week, so probably can have another look, but probably got to be looking to get him out pretty soon.
Yeah, I think so. But at the same time, there's a lot to say about that dual flexibility. Like for a goal kicking, he kicked 5 from 5. He looks a very good goal kicker. So you sort of put that in as a 15-point base there. There's enough about him. And I think if he jags a try, You can move him around down to your centre wing and bring in a 5'8", and he's not the worst centre wing to have sitting on
maybe
the bench.
Maybe a 6th centre wing?
It's just one of those ones where he's never going to be your biggest trouble. Like, you'll need to have a good few weeks in a row to potentially look at trading him out. But he's not a target to bring in, that's for sure.
Just while we're on the Tigers there, I didn't have Jarrell Skelton on the run sheet. He's been named for the Tigers, interestingly. He looked dead last week. I think you've just got to hold him now. He's until advised otherwise. Let's see how he comes back from injury. I saw a few people putting up selling, but I would be a hard hold on Jarrell Skelton. Dillbags, I don't know what to do with him. Like, he looks significantly out of form. Eels are going terrible. He's still kind of the base is there, but it's just, Chris, it's just not looking good.
Look, it sort of happened last year with Dylan Brown as well. He sort of had this real slow start to the season, and obviously they missed a lot of Mitchell Moses last year as well. So I feel like I've seen this movie with him before. He did come good at times, but there's just at the price, there's better options. Like, Munster's cheaper. So if you can make it in your trades to go from Brown to Munster, if you're a Brown owner, for me, that's a no-brainer. And I certainly wouldn't be looking to bring him in.
Yep. Felt the Eels were better last year, though, as well. And I'm not sure why, and I'm sure Moses will come back. It feels almost like they've accepted that it's a rebuild year. I don't know how Riles has created that culture. It's like I've come in already with some preloaded excuses. So it just doesn't feel like the year that the Eels are – they're going to be going for that spoon spot. I know they had that last year, but it just felt like they had a bit more in them last year, and it's not looking good this year.
Not looking good at all. I don't know what I'd do if I owned Dylan Brown. I'd probably be looking to move him on. But yeah, it's I think Chris is right. I think he will come good at some point. A lot of chat about, like, from Eels greats wanted to get him to piss him off now up to Newcastle already. Like, I mean, you sign your own death warrant if that's going to happen. You've got to have some faith in the kid to do well. He's an exceptional player. I really like that deal for Newcastle. I think he's going to be amazing up there. I know that most people don't. I'm going to tie in the last one at 5'8 here with a halfback as well, because they're very similar boats. Chanel Harris-Tavita, he's 388K minus two. He made 58,000 last week, looking all right. The Warriors attack looks pretty crap, but I'm going to tie him in as we move up to halfback with Isaiah Katoa, who's 464K minus 15 BE. He's sort of in that mid-range price bracket now. He started the year really well. He's obviously a very, very good NRL player. Hasn't always translated to Supercoach, but that's changed in 2025. I am just very conscious, Chris, of these mid-range guys, cheapy to mid-range guys at half and 5'8". I just think that you want to make your money elsewhere. These boys have shown for the last couple of years that they can drop a 15 without any worry whatsoever. As we've spoken through these guys who can get 150, I just think there's too much risk attached from a points perspective there to try and make a little bit of cash on these mid-range halves options.
Yeah, look, halfback's really hard, particularly halfback, because, you know, Nico Hines, Nathan Cleary, hold them all year if you can. Like you mentioned, there's other players and other positions that are making bulk cash, so I don't think you need to go to a cheapie or a mid-ranger there. So I'd be steering clear. And just, you know, stick with your Nicos, stick with your Nathan Clearys, and try and get to your Munsters, Galvins, and Campbells in your 5'8s.
Tubes, Chris mentioned there Nico and Cleary for the whole year. I'm pretty solidified on that bus as well. I own both. I started with both. I've got Cleary, obviously, like as I just said. I am holding on for dear life this week with Cleary, only out 1 week. He's 727K, break even of 146. He's going to lose cash. But I just don't see the point right now of trading him out until he gets a multi-week injury. I want him for that run. He's got Cowboys in 2 weeks at CommBank. I'm of the opinion to hold on tight to, and I think you want to get Nico in as quickly as possible there too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's the best Supercoach player. You'd be trading him at an 80% discount when you know that you'll probably end up buying him back in at a 100K or 200K increased valuation, and you miss the points that he's going to have. Just too big of a risk punt to just get the points for this week, basically. Just doesn't feel like it. I wouldn't trade him to Nico either. Unless you had a strategy of somehow you just went Cleary to Nico for this week, and then you were going someone back to Cleary next week as two trades that you were likely going to make anyway, especially with, say, the news around Pappenhausen being injured for this week, you might not be actually looking to make those fullback plays you were thinking about or something along those lines, utilizing the flex. But for me, it's a simple hold for Nathan Cleary and try and get Nico in other ways if you don't have him.
The other thing about Cleary, and we've spoken about trading fullbacks out, the difference between halfback and fullback is these fullbacks can match or beat each other on any given week. No one can match Cleary and Hines at halfback, in my opinion. Adam Reynolds has had a red-hot start to the year, and his ceiling is helped through the goal-kicking, and if Broncos can go on a hot run. And he looked really good. Like, don't get me wrong, he's got a break-even of 3 this week. He's 612K, he went up 100K last week. I'm just a bit concerned there, Chris, that ship sailed. And he can have a flaw as well in him.
Yeah, not definitely. You mentioned those mid-rangers before who can punch you at a 15 or a 20. Like, Adam Reynolds is capable of a 20 or a 30 as well, which you very rarely get with Nathan Cleary or Nico Hines without injury. So like, I understand he could go on a tear, but hold true to the two premiums there.
Yep. Lastly, shout out to DCE, still getting it done, 712K. Tough run after this week. Don't think he's a trade-in option at that price. And Jamie Humphreys, Tubes, is he still a buy? He's 391K, minus 24, played a bit of lock on the weekend. He made 46 tackles. We spoke at length last week about the rig, but he backed it up with a strong performance. Could you still be looking at Jamie Humphreys as an option?
No, I think last week was the week. I think you've missed out on all the different things that you were trying to do around moving around halves, etc. I think you're happy with how he went if you're 24% of the owners. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep. Yeah. The guys who have really chopped it off are the Nico owners and the Humphreys owner, that combination. And then you're probably just looking to get Humphreys up to Cleary in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Think that's a prudent strategy.
Yeah. Let's move up. Got so lucky. The bloody people had started with Nico Duffy, and then they get it wrong, but they get a chop out into Humphreys, and then Cleary goes down. I know that there's probably not a heap of them, but
there's a few out there probably listening tonight, Tubes. They've done all right.
It's all part of it.
Exactly. You need a bit of luck in this game, as we know. Let's get up to second row forward now. And the main talking point here this week is Matty Nicholson, Raiders 2RF. He's playing on an edge. Job security looks strong. He scored 49 on the weekend, all in base, coming off a 98 in round 2 with a couple of meat pies. He's 336K, negative 42 break even. He's currently found himself into my team. Just suits quite well what I'm trying to do this week with my trade plans. Chris, he's probably by no means a must-have, but he does look like a nice cow option who, if he can get some attack, Canberra have a relatively friendly draw. I know they've got the Cowboys in Townsville this week. A little bit of rain up there. He's from Northern England. The heat might bother him, but the water won't. They then have the Sharks at home, followed by Parramatta in Darwin, then Titans, Dolphins. Before they run into the Storm Bulldogs in 9 and 10, you're probably shipping him out by then, though.
Yeah, probably like you say, shipping him out by then. But no, I think he's a great pickup, especially for the Hetherington owners out there. He's plodding along. He's a bit of a slow burn pod, where I think a straight trade between those two, Matty Nicholson and Kobe Hetherington at the Broncos, for a similar price, you might even bank a bit of cash. I think you're getting a much better cash cow there, and he'll move up in price a lot quicker, and I think his output's a lot better as well. So a fine bring in, not a must get, but a very, very good bring in this week.
Yeah, one that if it really suits your trade plans with what you're trying to do with your second trade, or if you're boosting, I'd have no hesitation bringing him in. You mentioned Kobe Hetherington there. Him and Goz are trade outs ASAP, in my opinion. I'm trading Kobe this week. You don't need them clogging up your bench. Get rid of them. Tubes, Bo Fermor has come onto the scene pretty hard. He's still very in the pod range. He's 3.3% owned currently, 1.4% purchase this week. 593K, break even to 38. Very strong first two games, 80 minutes on that left edge. He's had 80 and 68, and very strong base plus power. It looks the goods, and I know you're very keen this week.
Yeah, I think you missed his biggest benefit, which is he's a dual centre wing, second row forward.
Of course.
I'm looking at Roger to him this week in the centre wing. If you're trading out Dylan Lucas, who's out for 6 weeks and an obvious sell, feels like a nice ready-made replacement back rower that plays 80 minute on the left edge, that can score tries, that has the base, and you can play it, pick him in your four centre wings. He's only 3.3% owned. I'm giving him a big push this week, and I'll be bringing him in just to add to my Titans in the team. Tubes is Titans, it could be soon.
Rebrand. Chris, Hamole Olakau'atu, I know you bought him in after 1 week. You had a look and you loved it, what you saw. I was shocked today. His ownership is 30.5%.
Oof.
681K now, break even of 86. He looked heavily involved in the weekend. How are you feeling, A, as an owner, and B, could you have a look at bringing him in? He certainly looks like he could be an endgame 2RF. He just lacks that bit of consistency like we saw last week against the Warriors.
Yeah, he just throws up that 30 or 40 every now and then, which is a bit disappointing, but he does have a very high ceiling compared to a lot of the 2RFs. He looked unbelievable on the weekend. And, you know, watching him round one, I remember, I've just got to get him in. He just looked like a wrecking ball. It didn't work out round two, but obviously on the weekend he was a lot better. That ownership, though, does surprise me. You know, I didn't
expect him. Very popular player.
Yeah. Mm. Look, at this point, I don't think I'd be, you know, if you don't own, I wouldn't be moving things crazily to try and get him in. They do have a good matchup this week, but, you know, their draw, I know I spoke to it earlier and it's not too bad.
Tubes has convinced you.
Yeah.
Tubes is.
He did come back pretty well. I might have changed my mind on that draw a little. But it's not the greatest draw. But, yeah, look, if you own, you're holding big time and you're very happy with what he's going to do for you. If you don't, I wouldn't be moving heaven and earth to get him.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
30.5% is ridiculous. That means him, Garrick, and Turbo all over 30% owned. That Manly buy can't come soon enough.
You better hope that draws no good, Tubes. Oh my god, how do we I don't own Garrick, that's it. I don't know how I'm going to watch that game if I don't know Turbo and Olakau'atu. It's just going to be a nightmare. Tubes, Siwa Wong, 363K, he's had 80 minutes, 56 in base last week. A little bit worried about those minutes, so just they've been HIA impacted both weeks. I still don't know what this looks like. Similar for Naff White, who we'll touch on in front row, but we've spoken a lot about Robbo Roulette as well this year. I think Wong's fine. Like 56 in base is excellent. I can just go without it personally.
Yeah, I think it's a well done to the 6.2% that own him or probably started with him. I think it's worked out well. You're going to get a few price rises. I don't think he's a buy. Nat Butcher and Lindsay Collins named on the bench this week, which are...
Plus Connor to come back next
and
week.
And Connor to come back. But those two have been out for a few weeks now, and they are go-to Robbo players for good, you know, they're both very good players as well.
Yep.
So can't be buying him, but I think he's done a good job for everyone.
Dylan Lucas is out for 6 weeks. He's a very easy move on. Bloody Knights not telling anyone until the game was over was pretty annoying. Jacob Preston is fairly well sold this week. He's 586K. Burton out, maybe hurting him a bit. It's cheap to sell him though, Tubes.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what to do with Preston. I'm glad I'm not in that. 10.6%, 586K. That feels like a decision you just have to make yourself. I sold Hopgood last week, which didn't feel great, but was a similar situation. I'd probably lean to holding Preston if I had him, but it doesn't feel great either way at the moment.
No. Hopgood, 627K, you mentioned there. 67 on the weekend, not bad. Yeah, you might have bigger problems. He's a fine hold, but if you need to sell him, it's fine. No problems there. A couple of other names just want to chuck in for 2RF. Eli Katoa looked good on the weekend. His base plus power is huge. He does have a little knee niggle, so we'll have to see. You mentioned Tubes. He's in that injury report as well before. I wouldn't recommend buying him this week, particularly in the wet against St. George with a knee. Let's just have a look at him. I think he is an endgame 2RF, though. So good to own. And then a couple of cheapies. Tom Cant and Trey Mooney. Monster base plus power from these two on the weekend. 78 for Cant and 72 for Mooney in like 55 minutes or something, or 50 minutes. They are on the radar cheapies. Both played one game. Keep an eye out for them after their next fixture as downgrade options. Up to the front row. Got to come up for air here, Chris. Payne Haas, what more can you say? 140 try. My God.
Absolute beast. I moved heaven and earth to get him in last week just because I had to. And that performance was just unbelievable. He is absolutely flying. It's gone back to the old days where, you know, front row was a genuine captaincy options and he's right in the thick of it. Look, if you don't own and there's half Supercoach that don't, I'd be finding a way to, because I don't think his output's going to change. He is absolutely flying.
No, you're getting left behind there. Like, he's still priced as 78. Like, he's just going to outperform that. If he starts bloody scoring tries like that, I mean, don't get me wrong, that was an amazing try, but what the hell was Reece Robson and Reuben Cotter doing there? Like, Origin superstar Reuben Cotter, and then obviously washed up Jordan McLean on the outside, but that was disgraceful defense. I wouldn't want to tackle Payne Haas either, by the way.
That's true. Bit of self-preservation there for Reuben, so, I think.
Corey Horsburgh tubes, keeps getting it done. 58 with a sin bin. His minutes were similar, just massive again. If you don't, for some reason, not one of the 64%, he's still a good buy at 430K. Tino's probably a better one to talk about tubes. 531K minus four. He's on the bubble this week. 61 in 56 minutes on the weekend. How urgent is Tino this week?
I think urgent. Yeah, I think you'd slot him in at second row forward rather than front row forward, where you probably want Haas and May. It's hard to say if you rank them because you need all three.
All four.
And Haas, you don't need Horsburgh anymore. I mean, like, sure, you want him, but I'd say it's...
most people listening would own.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd say it's Tino, Payne, Terrell, and maybe 1, 2, 3 could swap around Tino and Payne for sure. But the beauty of Tino is you can slot him in your second row forward. And I think, and maybe we talk about it in the captaincy chat, but for me, I think we talked about big boy season last week, particularly with that rain around. I'm very much looking at VC Tino on the Friday night and C Payne Haas on the Saturday. Oh, sorry. In the game after on the Friday night as well. So I don't know. It might feel a bit safe, but one of them gets a ton, and I'm happy with it.
Well, the point, let's move on forward there. Let's get into that in captain chat in a minute. A couple of cheapies, Chris, or he's a mid ranger now. Naff White has looked really good. He had 87 on the weekend, 58 in pure base. Probably minutes inflated the last couple of weeks. 57 on the weekend. Minus 10 break even. Well done to owners because he's turned out to be a great cheapie, but I probably couldn't go near him from a purchase perspective. Although I do think he's a good player and seems a bit coming of age.
Yeah, they've done really well. Owners have done really well. It's hard to know what the minutes are going to look like when it all flattens out for the Roosters because they've had so many issues. So with a couple coming back, I don't think he's a buy. But yeah, if you've got him, well done. Hold on for a few more weeks and then upgrade.
Hamish Stewart tubes, and I don't know anything about Hamish Stewart other than his name, so I know you're not going to know much either, but he's 199K basement price, minus 26 break even. David Clemmer has signed for the Dragons, but they have named a very favourable 17 for him this week with Little and Dylan Egan, who are neither of whom are middles. Obviously, Little's a hooker and Egan's an edge back rower who will probably come on and spell Looch, I would have thought. Big Looch struggling to get the 80 at the moment. That's a good team for him, and he could make bulk cash there at front row forward, and you could even slot him in for one of your nuffs, or it's like, I don't know. I think he's I don't know much about him as a player, but he's 11.6% owned now, and it could be bulk cash time for Hamish Stewart.
I mean, maybe. The best thing he's done is he reminded me of Irish police chief, Constable Hamish Macbeth, from the 90s as a nice BBC TV show. I might watch that this weekend, but
while the Manly game's on, but Hamish, watching Hamish Macbeth. That's really going to get the Gen Zers going on this pod tubes.
Yeah, Hamish Stewart will not be coming into my team. That's for sure.
Matt, I'm interested in your thoughts on this one, Matt. Like with what you've said there about Hamish Stewart coming in, if you move him on for one of your nuffs, do you think that's actually worth a trade?
Well, it just depends on. I think that's highly team dependent. Like, I probably would do that if it's suited. I quite like my two nuffs, Miles Martin and Chewy Simpkins, or what. I don't even know his
whatever name. Their names T, are. It T doesn't
Simpkins.
Matter.
My kids call him Napkins. Yeah, look, I probably wouldn't for enough. I'd probably rather downgrade someone and make some cash. But yeah, look, I think you could take on like a Matty Nicholson. Like if it's a pure cash play, I need Nicholson this week to play, so I'll be going there because I got Connor Watson and Hubner out. But I don't mind it. Like as a cash generator and a downgrade, I think that would definitely suit some teams. And like I said, the bench is everything there, and that's going to impact my pot of the week as well in a minute. So yeah, I think he's a nice pickup for those inclined and who suits their trades.
Sorry, can I just because I thought we were just having a joke. Like he's not a nice pickup. Don't bring him in. Like I know he's -26 break even, but. Like, what is it, say, 100K for a trade? You've got to think about trading him in and trading him out. Mm-hmm. So to break even, you've got to get to 400K for someone that you're never going to play
that's
your side.
Sorry, that's what you're quantifying the trade is worth. It's only one trade. It's only one trade because then you're upgrading him later to bring him in because you've got to trade. Like, you don't have to trade him out yet. He could get to – if he averages 44 – why won't he get to 400?
Is he on the bench this week? And you just said Clemmer's coming into the side?
Yeah, but they've only got two middles on the bench, him and Clemmer.
Mm.
Then they got Couchman and Gula. And obviously Couchman's been playing pretty decent minutes, which we'll hear more about in a minute in part of the week. But, yeah, I think he's a fine option. Like, he's obviously ahead of these other guys like Blake Laurie in the pecking order. Coach obviously rates him quite high. He's only a young up-and-comer. Got bright red hair. Looks like a young firebrand Horsburgh style. Like, I'm looking forward to actually watching him play this week.
Another Gerringong line.
Gerringong line. Good stock.
Mm. Mm.
Anyway, Tubes, despite your disdain for Hamish Stewart.
Nothing against him. I just don't think he's a relevant super coach, and we've now suddenly talked about him for 5 minutes, but that's good.
Yeah.
Enough of that.
All right, let's go. I've been trying to get up to hooker for 10 minutes. Oh, God. Chris, Tom Starling, -20 BE, 433K, still an option. Minutes down a bit on the weekend. Is that a bit of a – is 53, I think. Is that the norm, or do we expect that to go back up?
Oh, how do you know? Like, we've mentioned roulette on this pod Ricky a few roulette. Times already, but it's Ricky roulette, 100%. If Ricky's in a good mood, Todd Starling, like the week before, played good minutes, looked amazing, looked like a genuine trade-in option. The next week, his minutes drop a bit, and I go, oh, what have I done here? It's always been that with Tom Starling. It feels like every year he's sort of on the precipice of a trade. Do I bring him in? Don't I? It just feels like Groundhog Day with him. Look, he's going to make some money, obviously, and that's what we want our hookers to be doing at the moment because, you know, you don't want to be going near Harry Grant till the end of the year. Yep. So I understand bringing him in. It's great, but, yeah, not for me. It just I can't live with Ricky Roulette.
Yep. A couple of holds at the moment. Sandon Smith, it's tricky with his – he only had a 20 on the weekend. I think he's still got enough upside to keep playing personally, but, yeah, it's a bit worrying. Tough matchup against the Warriors away. They're very defensive. Connor Watson, he's out with a HIA this week. I'm definitely holding him. He has got that dual flexibility up to hooker and 2RF. He's just looked great. Great role. I'm holding for another few weeks at least. Just see how those minutes play out when he comes back. Pete Mamazelis tubes, similar boat to Starling. Minutes look great. would 373k if you were kind of needed that whatever for whatever reason you needed to move at hooker, would he tempt you? I know you're going to say no, but okay, give me a reason why.
I think the moves are done at hooker. You've got your cheapies.
Yep.
Yeah, there's the Connor Watson or a Max Plath or you've got the Harry Grants. Like I think you're not jumping around from cheapy to cheapy at the moment, so you sort of stick with the ones you've got currently.
Yeah, I'm selling Corey Pax this week to move Sandon Smith back up to hooker. Pax just has capped upside. He'll make a little bit more money this week, but I think he's on his deathbed from a super coach perspective. You're looking to get him out this week or next. You mentioned Harry Grant there, Tubes. He's 691K, break even 129. They're playing their third match this week. 1,400 teams have already traded him out this week, if not more by now. He's 20% owned. Jeez, that's a tricky one for owners. There's not a lot to get excited about there for Harry. How would you be feeling if you were an owner?
Not good, but I'd be holding. He's a proven Supercoach gun. I think Hughes out, similar to Munster, probably helps his output. He might take a bit more of the attack on his shoulders. He'll bounce back. I mean, he's a 60 plus. Yeah, he's a gun and he's a 60 plus averager. Like it'll just come. Like you'll be kicking yourself.
Don't panic.
If you trade him out. You
know? No, don't panic. Yeah. I agree with that. Yep. All right, let's move on to our captain chat now. We've had a little bit of dribs and drabs here. Tubes, you mentioned looking at Tino, Vice, and Haas captain for big boy season. I think Terrell May on Sunday is also an okay option if you need to get there. Let's see how the weekend plays out. Chris, personally, I'm still going to look for a bit more upside with a fullback as a VC option this week, either Paps or Gutho or Turbo or whoever it is I bring in. I can't actually VC Turbo, but I am looking for a bit of upside, and I might even captain May on the Sunday. May VC Payne Haas too. Lock that away because, yeah, he's just too good.
Is there anyone you haven't mentioned?
No, I'm just
no. It is a real difficult week for vice captain and captain given that weather as well. I think you know it's fine to go big boy season Haas, and also you know there's plenty of fullbacks who are good options too. Just have a look at it and see what feels right. But even Nico is a good option again too.
One thing I will say is that squads will be a little bit light this week, and so the VC, don't be afraid to loop a score of below 100 this week, because you're only going to be taking it off someone else anyway. You should have plenty of non-playing reserves that you can put on the field to captain, so just please make sure you make use of that VC loop. Pod of the week time now, and we're going to start with you, Tubes, and you're actually going to put up someone who's currently in your side.
Yeah, I've been spruiking him since preseason. We've actually already ended up chatting about him in a bit of the strategy discussion earlier, and that's AJ Brimson, also known as Brimpod. He's actually – I was pretty surprised because and maybe that shows why I'm not going too well, but he was only 5.1% owned currently, and I think a lot would be of those might be looking to trade him out. His break-even's 105. I still just really like that run that they've got coming up. So they go the Dolphins into the Dragons, Raiders, and then Cowboys after obviously already having the bye. I've mentioned before, I think he's just about ready to go. He just needs a few things going his way. They need to click a bit more in attack. He's averaged 69 at 5'8 in the past. So coming off a 26, I think, the probabilities in my favor that he's going 100 plus this week. Yeah,
no, I like it. I like the Brimson hold too, at least for this week. Look, if he drops a little bit of cash, it's not the end of the world. You can move him on. Good couple of games coming up. Jube, speaking of, you said he's ready to go. Your ready to explode curse from the Sunday Snappers struck early this week with Keanu Kinney going down and being out. We didn't mention him at fullback, but he's gone this week with a neck injury. It's getting a bit scary, this curse of yours.
It is. You almost need to listen to the Sunday Snap to see who I pick as the ready to explode to just look at avoiding them the following week. But yeah, he's a Tubes RTE, and just he's Yeah, hopefully he's back in the next couple of weeks because ready to go explode.
And he's a gun. Sure. He's a gun. Chris, your pot of the week.
Yeah, my pot of the week. One of the big boys coming back after a little stint. He played in Vegas for a 51, which was affected by a sin binning for being a naughty boy, and then he got 2 weeks for it. But Joey Tapine from the Raiders. I think he's just been sitting. Tarpany.
That's stuck terrible on your pronunciation.
Tubes. Sorry, Joey. Tarpany. He's been sitting back for a couple of weeks watching all the big boys fire, and I think he's going to come out and absolutely nail it. So, yeah. Joey taps for me. He's about 650. Cash-wise and percentage of ownership is right down at 2.3.
Yeah, I think anyone who owned him would have moved off him to one of the other big boys, but it will be interesting to see. He's probably been the most consistent big boy over the last few years, so it'll be interesting to see how he reacts and if he can respond to the challenge. I like that, Chris. Just depending on how you can fit in the rest of your front rowers. I'm going to go with a dual front row, second row forward, and we spoke at length about Hamish Stewart, but this is Toby Couchman, who's been one of my more popular chat topics of this season so far. He's 483K, break-even at 21 on the bubble this week for the St. George Dragons. He's had a really strong start to the year with a couple of scores, which I'm just getting up now. He has scored 69 and 61. In 70 and 61 minutes, the first game he had some HIA impacted minutes where his minutes were up a bit. But like I said, with that bench of Clemmer and Stewart, I expect him to get 55 to 60 minutes again this week. And I really think that he's a very viable third front row forward option who you can flip between 2RF and front row forward. So I would not be adverse to bringing him in. Again, it's not exciting centre wing, but I think he's one. He passes the eye test, a lot of hard work, minutes look secure, and a great bench. So, excited about Toby Couchman's prospects this year. I'm probably not going to be able to bring him in myself, but for anyone out there, have a look and get around him. All right, boys, it's been a bit of marathon pod tonight. So much to get through. I thought we couldn't top last week's, but we have easily. Chris, C-Mac, it's been amazing having you back on. Congrats on your great finish last year. And best of luck this year. You're on the right track, and no doubt that you're destined for great things, mate. So it's been good to see you, and thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks, Matt. Hopefully we can stay up there. It's it's been really enjoyable being back involved tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, good, mate. And Tubes, it's the corner's turning for you. I can see your mood's improving. It's all been a beauty, and looking forward to seeing you on the snap this Sunday.
You beauty.
Thanks, guys.